It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't, into the world of coaching, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Today we'll be talking about the secret of job contentment. But first, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for some other great shows with some fascinating guests. And speaking of guests, if you would like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. So just send me an email at doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and I'll get back to you, and we'll talk about setting up a date. Well, you know, we've been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. Helping to create more effective teams is our primary focus. We work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual members. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching for people who want to sharpen a particular business skill and communication workshops. Well, if you're getting ready for the August International Coach Federation Orange County Chapter meeting, sit back and take it easy, because there isn't a meeting in August. So this year, the Orange County Chapter has taken a true vacation. We've gone dark in both July and August. So that doesn't mean there's nothing to listen to, because you can go to the website and listen to 9 great interviews from our May coaching week. That would be coachesoforangecounty.com is where you want to go. Well, okay, let's get on with today's show. The secret of job contentment. Let me start with a couple of statements, and then we'll get into the discussion. First, why is it that even those who've reached the pinnacle of professional success still ache for a sense of purpose in their life? Why is it that when asked, 80% of the people say they're not getting what they want out of their jobs? You know, people need to feel a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction in their work, or contentment will elude them. It's a true saying that says if a person is unhappy in their work, then they're unhappy in their life. Circumstances don't determine our contentment, but it's how we choose to deal with them. And let me wrap up those little platitudes with a saying from a great Chinese philosopher and diplomat who said, "The most outstanding characteristic of Eastern civilization is to know contentment, whereas that of Western civilization is not to know contentment." Ouch! That one hurts. True, but hurts. Okay, here it is, right at the top of the show, no waiting. I'm going to tell you right now what the secret of job contentment is. Ready? Got your magic decoder rings out? Pencil and paper? This is it. It is not focusing on what you want, but redefining and focusing on what you need. Let me give that to you again. It's not focusing on what you want, but instead redefining and focusing on what you need. So there, you've got it. Are we done? Well, not really, because things that are easy to understand does not make them easy to do. This makes for a wonderful opportunity for us coaches. We get to work with a client to help them identify their life purpose so they can redefine what they need and then find true job contentment. So the question is, how do you redefine what you need and stop focusing on what you want? You know, one of the issues is that we focus on our identity rather than why we exist. Look at the issues that people have when they lose a job or have a change in their family status. You know, we identify with the title that we've placed on ourselves rather than identifying with the person that we are or have become. Is our job our purpose in life, or is it helping us to fulfill a bigger purpose, such as providing income to the family or helping others? Well, let's just take an example, let's say, of a nurse. Is her purpose in life to work just to make money? Is it for her position at XYZ Hospital? Is it her title as a nurse? Or is it the opportunity to serve those who are sick and in need of help? You know, depending which of those choices she picks as her purpose depends on how you would handle a change in your job at XYZ Hospital. In fact, it really dictates how you handle everything that happens to you during the day. So therefore, it follows that it's critical that we identify what our true purpose is rather than just the title we've hung on ourselves. So let me first clarify, your purpose is different than goals. Purpose is why we do what we do, whereas goals are what we're going to do. So I set a goal to lose weight, but my purpose is I want to be healthier, live longer, and be able to be more active. See, the problem is that goals keep getting reset, so therefore they provide only fleeting satisfaction, while purpose is more long-term and provides daily ongoing satisfaction as long as, qualification here, as long as we're living consistently with our purpose. You know, many times coaching clients want help in developing a plan for the next 5 to 10 years. What most lack is a clear definition of what that plan is supposed to accomplish, I mean, and where it will take them. Without a clear definition of purpose, it's impossible to put together a plan that can be satisfying for very long. You know, how do I get my business more successful? Well, why do you want your business to be more successful? Well, I don't know. It needs to be more successful. You know, it's a roundabout kind of conversation. And goals that are set without any real, larger, overarching purpose to them really don't provide much satisfaction and don't give us much, really don't get much of our attention in terms of a sense of commitment to living up to them. You know, it goes back to Maslow 50 years ago, who said that at the top of the pyramid of self-actualization is a sense of purpose. You know, this is what we are all aiming for. Once we've satisfied that food, shelter, I'm not freezing, I'm getting something to eat, you know, those kinds of things, I've got communication with other people in society, then what life really is all about is a sense of purpose. Why am I doing all of this? Okay. This is the topic that more people inquire about than anything else. If you don't believe me, just Google it. Google, how do I define my life purpose? Boy, will you get a hodgepodge of answers there. You know, I find as a coach, I'm repeatedly asked questions like, how do I find my purpose? Does such a thing really exist? What if I don't know what my purpose in life is? Being on purpose is what most self-actualized people accomplish on their life journeys, but many individuals feel little sense of purpose, may even doubt they have a purpose in life, and they're going through a day-to-day existence. Good days, bad days, no real continuity. So the very fact of your existence indicates that you have a purpose. The key question is, what is that purpose? You know, people ask, what am I supposed to be doing? Should I be an architect, a florist, or a veterinarian? Maybe even a radio show producer. Heaven forbid we have another one of those around. Should I help people or should I fix automobiles? Am I supposed to have a family or be in the jungle saving chimpanzees? You know, we're befuddled by the endless number of options available to us. And we constantly are wondering whether they're doing the right thing. Forget all of those questions. Those are goal-driven. What we're talking about is purpose. So I suggest there's only one thing you can do since you came into this life with nothing and you're going to leave it with nothing. You can give what you've got away and you'll feel more purpose while you're giving away things and living a life of service than you would otherwise. Because, hey, we all know. You don't get to keep the toys. You don't take them with you. So most people find that finding your life purpose means doing something you truly love. They think that it's an area that seems natural to you, that things seem to just fall into place. But what if things aren't so clear to you? What if you're not sure what your gifts are, what your talents are? What if you haven't discovered any particular talent that makes you think you've identified a calling in life, you know? For many years, I was really envious of those people in school and out of school who, you know, sort of grew up knowing I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor or something. Like, how did they know that? You know, I'm listening. I don't hear the little voice in the back of my head saying, Doug, you're going to grow up and be a coach, you know? What sport? No, that's a different subject. But, you know, how do you find out that purpose if you don't just feel it? Well, you know, don't panic. You're not alone. There's lots of us that have been in that boat and many of us that are still in that boat. So clarifying that sense of purpose, what your life purpose and your life, as some people call it, what your core life intentions are, can help you move forward with greater focus and greater clarity. And, you know, I just digress for a minute. Study after study shows that almost none of us, I'm going to say none of us, on a daily basis, utilize the full capability that we have in terms of our focus ability and in terms of our brain power, in terms of our problem-solving ability, in terms of our empathy. We just aren't there all the time. We're out to lunch a good portion of the day. And why is that? It's because of the problem of staying focused. And why do we have a problem staying focused? Because we don't know what to focus on. We're focusing on the little things in life that don't give us great satisfaction rather than starting the day with a clear intention of what is today all about? What is my focus on? And therefore, you know, staying focused, being more productive, and feeling more satisfaction about it. You know, especially in these challenging times, setting clear intentions, developing and refining our life purpose can make it a lot easier to deal with difficult things. So there's lots of ways to do that. You know, you can start exploring your life purpose and intentions is to just stop for a minute, ask yourself two questions. What's most important to me in my life? What are my deepest values and beliefs? You know, give yourself a little time. Let those questions sort of settle in. Think about them. Notice what your first reaction is. Have paper and pencil in front of you. Start to jot down things. Jot down what's right. Jot down what isn't right. Jot down the thoughts that you discarded. It can be as easy as that to get going. Although life purpose and life intentions are both important, your life purpose is generally a single statement relating to the key reason that you feel you're here in this world. What is the greater purpose behind you being alive? Why are you here? Your life intentions are any number of statements about the way you want to live your life. We're kind of stretching into goals here. It could be, how do you want to be and act in the world right now and in each moment? When you're confronted with major challenges, on what core principles do you want to base your decisions and action? You know, both life purpose and life intentions can be rich and valuable in helping to move through the challenges of life. If you find the process challenging, you might focus on purpose first. But, you know, if you're having problems with purpose, go to life intentions. If you find you're hitting a mental or emotional block in this process, you know, what you might do is you might sit back and really talk to somebody about this. Sometimes other people see our purpose almost clearer than we do. There are as many ways as there are minutes in the hour, or hours in the year, whatever, to approach a life purpose. You know, recently I went through this exercise with a group of men that I participate with in a Bible study, and it was pretty much spiritual-based, Bible-based, and I mean, it was a fascinating way to approach this question by going through the Bible and reading Bible verses and really raising yourself up out of the daily problems and thinking about the bigger issues of why I'm here. But you don't have to do it that way. There's other ways that you can do it. If you're not big on jumping into the Bible, then, you know, just sit down and think about what you want to do. And I'm going to give you a list of things that you can go through here. You know, once you find and identify your life purpose, find a good place to post it. Review it each day when you wake up and review it during the day. In difficult situations, check to see if it still works. See if it helps you. Remind yourself of your purpose and intentions. I had this has been a particularly busy week for me, very mentally busy. I had a quarterly meeting of a board of directors that I serve on, a two-day meeting. Being on a board of directors is not an easy thing. You don't just sit back. You're sitting there. You're listening to management present its viewpoints. You're trying to sift through whether you agree or don't agree. They may be talking about areas that you don't have a technical expertise in, so you're struggling to understand what they're really talking about. You want to participate, but yet you don't want to overpower other people on the board. You want to be sure that you're listening to them. Sometimes things get a little heated. You don't want to get carried away with advocating your position to the point where you can't hear any other positions being advocated. And, you know, to get ready for this, each morning before I walked into the boardroom, I sat down, sat in the car, pulled open the iPad, and read my life purpose. I read my life purpose to keep me focused on what it is that I'm doing there. That it's not about me. It's not about me being the star of the meeting. It's not about me showing off how stupid I am or how bright I am. But it's about me helping other people. So my life purpose helped me stay focused during that meeting. And at least once during the day, as I was making notes in my iPad, I would flip through and come across that purpose on the iPad and remind me how I want to behave, what it is that I'm trying to accomplish. Not in 8 hours, not in a meeting, but what am I trying to accomplish in terms of my life? You know, the another way to approach this life purpose statement, and I was first introduced to this many years ago working with a coach, and the coach asked me, he said, I want you to write your eulogy. And I thought, that's kind of depressing. I'm going to sit here and write my eulogy? And he said, yeah, I want you to write down what it is you would like people to stand up and say about you when you are no longer here. How do you want to be remembered? And once you've written that down, then I want you to put it someplace and read it on a regular basis and measure how are you behaving today in terms of achieving that kind of a eulogy. Are the actions that you're, and the actions are the way you're coming across to people today, are those actions that are going to generate that kind of a dialogue when you're gone? So the eulogy, in effect, became a life purpose statement of something to live up to. It became something to keep me on track to the bigger purpose in life rather than the day-to-day things. You know, you have to remember that this kind of self-discovery is an evolving process. Nothing needs to be set in stone. You know, you can have a life purpose that you're happy with for many months, maybe for years, and then you read it again and you find you want to change it some. And that's okay. You know, I was in working with this group of men, it was interesting to see that the younger guys in the group, their life purposes revolved around different things than the older guys in the group, that their kids were gone and weren't in the house anymore. And that's to be expected. So life purpose can be changed. So as a coach, what does this mean for you? How do you deal with this? How do you help a client to define their life purpose? Because I'm absolutely committed to believing that if you can work with a client to define their life purpose, then all of the other issues that they're dealing with become much, much easier to resolve. I had a client make a statement just today. We started off, we got into the coaching session before I checked on the things that were left as action items from the last session. I said, before I start talking about anything, what is on your agenda today? What do you have to talk about? And the client started to talk about a business problem and immediately stopped. And he said, Doug, you know what? He said, I could talk every single coaching session we have from now to the end of time, and every one of those sessions, you would help me to solve another problem, to see a solution I didn't see, to take a perspective on it, to put it in place so it could be dealt with. And things would improve bit by bit in my company with the help that you would give me in this coaching. But what I really wanted out of the coaching is I really don't know where I'm going in the next 5 to 10 years. I really feel like I'm lost, I'm rudderless, I'm reacting to what's going on, not being proactive. And the kind of easy proactive things that I can set, like more money, more people, more time, you know, those things don't excite me. They don't, I don't have a passion for them. And so I don't stay committed to them. What I really need, and I said, I know what you really need. Before we can work on the plan, we really need to define what is your life purpose. What is it that you are working towards? And what is it that you want to be while you're doing that? What is the being that is going to work on these interim goals? And what is the ultimate objective? The overarching bigger picture that is something that excites you, that's going to probably stick around for a long time, that's going to give you a sense of direction when you're dealing with different problems. And he said, you know, that's exactly what I need. And that's what we're working on. We're working on defining that life purpose. So as a coach, let me give you some tips if you don't have them. And, hey, if you've got them, drop me an email, Doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Share your best practices. We'll put them on the air. We'll put you on the air, and we'll make this list even better. The first thing I tell a client is make a list of the things you like to do for fun or the things that you really enjoy. You know, when I say enjoy, I mean not just outside of work. Include on the list the things that you like doing at work. Some people like doing sales. Some people like balancing the books. Some people like whatever it is, walking the shop. Some people like talking to customers. What are the things at work that you like? And what are the things outside work that you do that you like? You know, and these aren't just things that you love. These are things that you love to do, or things that you would do simply for the pleasure of doing them, even if there was no monetary reward. You know, how do you know that things should be on the list? Well, things that make you smile, activities, people, events, hobbies, projects. Favorite things that you've been doing in the past or that you do now. Things that when you do them, you lose track of time. Gee, 2 hours went by. I thought it was 5 minutes. Things that make you feel great about yourself. Things that when you're done, you're not exhausted. You're energized. You've got more energy than when you started. Things that you're naturally good at, that you have skills, abilities, gifts for. Things that people usually come to you and ask you to help them with. Those are usually things you're good at, things that you like to do. People quickly identify those and know they should go to you. Things that if you were required to teach something, what is it that you would teach to people? Would you teach them how to do accounting, or would you teach them how to sail a boat? What are the kinds of things? Would you teach them how to make a list, how to set a goal? And then what would you regret not doing if life was when life is over? Those are the kinds of things that you're going to think about as you make up this list of things that you do for fun or things that you really enjoy. Not as easy as it sounds. Now, second thing, make another list. This is a list of the names of people that you admire, along with an explanation of why you admire them. We're not so concerned with who you admire here. We just want to make it concrete by putting a name there. What we're concerned with is, why do you admire this person? Because typically the people we admire have traits, talents, habits, skills, whatever, that we're attracted to. They may be things that we do well also, so we appreciate them in other people. They may be things that we don't do well, but we enjoy doing, or we want to learn to do, or we want to be able to do them, or find time to do them. They're qualities that sort of speak to you and really are a part of your life purpose. So you want to make this list of people and qualities that those people have, why they're on your top list. And you know, it's like things that you like to do, people that you admire. Make the lists as long as you possibly can. Keep writing until you can't think of anything more to write. Take a short break and come back and keep writing again. The third thing here is to make a list of the things that you do naturally without even thinking about it. You know, and this truly is one where you need to get other people's help. If you've never been exposed to Marcus Buckingham's book, Discover Your Strengths, he's got a whole series of books. Go Put Your Strengths to Work, Now Discover Your Strengths, First Break All the Rules. I mean, there's a series of them, and there's an assessment that goes along with it. But what it is that Buckingham, through some, I believe it was Gallup surveys that he used in Gallup's database, identified that there are, I'm going to say 35, I'm not sure I've got the number exactly right, but in that magnitude, that there are 35 talents that people have, and that typically, if you take this assessment, what you will find is that 4 or 5 of those talents are your top talents. You outscore, in terms of interest in them, you outscore all the other ones significantly. So we can identify 4 or 5 of those talents that are what I'm going to say your natural gifts. You might want to say your God-given gifts. But if those are your natural gifts, then you would tend to think, I guess I should be using those natural gifts for my purpose in life. How do those gifts relate to a purpose in life? The interesting thing is that as I've worked with numbers of groups over the years on this exercise, I would always have, once the group had done it and we had talked about what these talents were and what their 4 or 5 talents were, then I would always have people say, well, you know, the assessment says these were my 5 top talents, and I agree with 2 of them, but the other 3 I don't see at all. And invariably, by sharing it with the group, other people in the group would go, oh, you're way off. That is so obviously you. That is a natural talent you've got. We see you using it all the time. So the point I'm making here is as you think of the things and put them on this list of things that you naturally do without even thinking about it, that use your sort of natural talents, get somebody else involved to help you work on this list or to review it when you're done. Take the Buckingham assessment and get a good starting place to go with this thing and identify those things that are your natural talents or your strengths. These are things that you strongly believe in. These are things that if you could get a message across to a large group of people, this might be the message. What would be the message? You know, if another way of looking at natural talents is to say, if you were called upon to share your life lessons with somebody, I don't care whether you're just out of school or whether you're getting ready to retire. If you were called upon, what is it that you would share that you know, that you think is important, that would be a benefit to others? That topic is going to bring you closer to your life purpose, understanding what it is. When you've identified the strengths that you have, then the key thing, and this is the tricky part of the Strength Finder exercise, once you've identified them, the key thing is, how could you possibly use those strengths? So, for instance, I might have a strength that is organizational and analytical in terms of its basis. I am great at organizing things, and I'm very analytical. So that's a strength I have. It's a natural talent. Now, in terms of purpose in life, how would I use that for a purpose that resonated with me? One way is I might say that the way I'm going to use that is to be the richest person in Orange County. And that's my purpose in life, and that's what resonates with me. Obviously, it doesn't, or I've totally failed at it, one or the other. Or I might say I'm going to take those same traits, and I am going to create a nonprofit organization that solves the world problem for clean water. Or I am going to create an organization that focuses on helping battered women, and I'm going to use my organizational analytical talents to serve the purpose in life that is important to me, which is helping battered women or providing clean water, whatever it is. So you start to see that so many times what we do is we stop when we've identified the talent or strength. And we go, okay, I should be doing organizational stuff. And we don't take it to the next step is, for what purpose? What is the bigger purpose that I have been given these strengths to use to accomplish something larger in life? Something that is going to make me feel committed. You know, it is no anomaly that startup companies have people working for them that are more focused and more productive than midlife or mature companies. And why is it? Well, there's probably lots of reasons, but I like to think that one of the main reasons is that in a startup company, the fire, the excitement, the challenge that the entrepreneur feels in solving that early business problem, in creating a new computer, in creating a new delivery system, whatever it is that the company is going to do, in designing some new gizmo, that excitement, that commitment to that purpose of the company is easily communicated to the two or three or four or five people that work for that startup company. And they all feel a part of it. They identify with it. They feel that excitement. They feel that coming to work, whether they are the receptionist answering the phone, whether they're the shipping receiving clerk, whether they're the accountant, whether they're the engineer designing the gizmo, they all feel that we're doing that. We're part of that big challenge to design that gizmo, to make it a better world, a better place, to come up with something that nobody's done before, to solve this engineering problem, whatever it may be. And therefore, because of that focus, because of that purpose that's been conveyed to everybody, they're more effective at work. They're more engaged. Now, whether that carries outside of work for them, I don't know. Because, again, I think my experience is the people I've met involved in startups have sort of an affinity for what the startup business is all about, beyond just getting paid. They have an affinity. I would like to work for this company regardless of what the pay is. Okay, Maslow would say I've got to get a certain amount of paid because I need to have food and shelter. But once we're beyond that, the pay is no longer important. It's the purpose that the company is giving me. And that's what we're looking for here, for you to identify that purpose. You know, another way of thinking about this is, play the game. You're 90 years old. You're sitting in a rocking chair outside on your porch. You can feel the spring breeze brushing against your face. You're blissful and happy. You're pleased with the wonderful life you've been blessed with. And as you look back at your life and all that you've achieved and acquired, all the relationships that you've developed, what are the things that matter the most to you? Write them down. Play this game and write them down. This is sort of the eulogy exercise. If you were at the end of life, what is it that you would be looking back on that meant the most to you? When you're no longer here and somebody's talking about you, what is it you want them to say about you? These are the things that help you key into your purpose. The last tip, number four, that I'm going to give you for coaching somebody on how to identify their purpose is get them to identify how they feel when they're involved in these activities, how they feel when they talk about these activities. Because that emotion, that physical emotion about how they feel is really the key indicator that this is a purpose that resonates with them. So that's what it's all about. So what have we talked about here today? We started with a title that says The Secret of Job Contentment, and then we talked all this time about purpose. Well, that's because job contentment only exists when the job that you're doing is consistent with the life purpose that you've identified for yourself. What you want to do is work on identifying your life purpose, your life intentions, and then we can develop a plan. Then we can find full contentment in what we're doing. So I would really encourage you to take a note. If some of this resonates with you, Hey, visit the website early next week and listen to the broadcast again. We'll have it posted up there on dgefeller.podbeam.com, or you can go to our website, thecoachingperspective.com. And think about this. This is a exercise that may produce more revenue than any other sale you could possibly make, because it is going to help you be focused much better all of the time on the things that you need to do. Well, next week starts August. I'm going to take the first week of August off as far as the radio show, so I won't be with you next week, but I'll be back the week after. Be sure to tune in again. You know, we're on the air live just about every Thursday at 4 p.m. right here on OCTalkRadio.net, Orange County's premier talk radio station. Also look for our weekly newsletter, Wednesday, Thursdays, that let you know what's going on and what's happening in the coaching world. If you're not getting this, drop me an email, Doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your purpose in life. Have a great evening. You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.